James chapter 3, the first 12 verses. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you on this, our 15th, as Hilary says, Zoom services. And we've been looking at faith in the pressure cooker, and it's been something that's been on my heart to help all of us get through this difficult time. And it has been a difficult time. Today, we're going to be looking at the tongue being your enemy, which is quite a sad thing to say, really. Now, I don't know about you, but I look back and there are things that I wish that I'd never said. One of them was calling a teacher mum. I think we've all done it. Well, I have. Calling another one dad, that was difficult. Calling a female teacher dad was the most awkward one. And then telling my wife she couldn't sing. And that was a really difficult one because, you know, since then she's never sung with me and I just don't know why. Another one that really got me was telling HBC how to clap when I first got here. That was something that I wish I'd never done because I was saying, you just clap on the offbeat, not on the onbeat. Well, clapping stopped within 2 weeks. You know, everybody just said, well, if I can't do it your way, I won't do it at all. It just destroyed the clapping into songs in the church. So hopefully when I've gone, you'll get back to clapping to songs. My tongue has been an enemy at times. It says things I regret, things that let me down, things that let God down. Like when I visited an old godly couple in Cardiff when I first became a Christian on a Sunday afternoon, and I saw their dog lying by the fire, and I said, wouldn't it be nice to do that? But as I spoke the first word, the dog sat up and started licking its parts, as they do. And when the old couple turned, that's what they saw. I wish the ground would have swallowed me up. I remember many of the times my tongue has let me down. There are things I wish I had said. I remember I should have said, make sure the lid is secure on that pot of paint, or watch out for that bollard. Other things I wish I'd said would be, try again, rather than let me do it, or well done. Don't seem to have said that enough. I think I'm starting to learn, shall we do it together with my grandchildren? So my tongue really has been my enemy at times, letting me down, letting God down, letting others. Maybe yours is more trained than mine. Now, James has been teaching and he's been preaching about faith, what effects it has in religion, And he says, pure religion bridles the tongue. It looks after the poor and it stays clean before God. That's what it does. And it's great to have that effect. And he says that in 126 and 127. And then what faith is, he's gone and described that. And he says, it's belief in action. And you know whether your belief is in action because it overflows to God, giving us a living peace with God. And it overflows to people, giving us a compassionate nature like Jesus. And in this section, he goes back to the tongue and what it can do. Sometimes I would think that it would be easier to say nothing, go into a mode of silence, just let my actions speak. But that's not right, because God gave us, gave you, gave me a tongue. He gave us the gift of words so that we could express who we are, how we feel, what we know, how we think, ideas we have. A tongue is a great thing. It's a great tool to share community. We can worship God privately and together. We can build up those who are cast down. We can strengthen the weak. We can comfort the bereaved and the heartbroken, all with our words. Yes, some actions need to be there, but the right words are so important. He gave us the gift of words, but he also knew its power. God, by his words, created life. God, by his words, upholds his righteousness. He judges the world. He destroys kingdom. And he rewards the faithful. He knew its power, and he gave us the gift. He sort of gave it anyway. This is yours, he says. Learn how to use it, and then use it wisely. As a child grows up, it learns the power of words and uses them, from love to hate, to get their own way, to manipulate others. They're learning all the time that words change things. A teenager learns to fight for their rights and the rights of others. They learn that shouting is one level, but the right words said at the right time and in the right way can be as a twisting knife that destroys the enemy, and they decide that you are the enemy. And our speech is an indicator of the condition of our heart. And they learn how to use the tongue correctly from their parents, from others, from the inner voice of the Spirit. Now, you might be interested to know that God's purpose for the tongue is blessing. Literally in here, a good word. The tongue was designed and given for good words, blessing God for his blessing us, looking on him with favor, that's what blessing means, in difficult times, giving him gifts of acknowledgement and praise, blessing. But he didn't just give the tongue so that you could bless God. He wanted you to bless others because of his blessings to you. Look on other people with favor in difficult times. Give them gifts of acknowledgement and praise. God's purpose for the tongue is blessing. So we can tell if we're using our words well by asking, is it helpful? Is it enabling? Is it useful? Parents and employers, are you hearing this? And then, are you hearing this? Employees, are you hearing this? Is it helpful? Is it enabling? Is it useful? Now, before you think, oh, you just got to say nice things, good words can have bite. I mean, how many of you husbands have heard the words, are you sure you want to do that? Or how many times have you said, is that wise? And maybe sometimes it's been an admonishment, like in the film Notting Hill, where Spike says, you idiot, when he's trying to show that he made a terrible mistake and was just trying to justify it. You idiot. It can have bite. And we all make mistakes with the tongue. That's what James is saying here. Your words are like a wild horse, he said. It's like a ship at sea. It's like a fire that you're setting. They all need controlling. But it needn't take much. Just a bit in the mouth. Just a rudder. Or just a grate. The answer to misuse of the tongue is not disuse. It's right use. The opposite of blessing in this passage is cursing. To curse is to speak malevolence rather than benevolence. Wanting bad to happen. It's not the word anathema, which is about destruction. It's katara, down speaking. And he says, you can use your word to speak down or to down speak others. Or you can use your word to build them up. It's your choice. Are you going to be a blessing person or a cursing person, a downspeaker? So you might think, oh, that's a big, tall order. The good news is this. God gives help with the tongue. And the wisdom is from Proverbs. Whoever restrains their words has knowledge, all, and whoever has a cool spirit is a person of understanding. How's that to help you? The 27F, by the way, on the screen means and following. So it includes verse 28 as well. Or how about this? A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing their opinion. Are you a fool or are you listening? A fool's lips walk into a fight and their mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is their ruin and their lips are a snare to their soul. Well, we've all been there, haven't we? We've gone in foolishly. Hard, without thinking, certainly not putting ourselves in other people's shoes. And then this one about chatter in the background. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. They have an effect. God's help with the tongue also includes if one gives an answer before she hears or he hears, it is their folly and their shame. Don't go to someone who thinks they've got all the answers. And then it talks about an intelligent heart acquires knowledge. And the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. That's in Proverbs 18, verse 15. Proverbs 18 has a lot of these. And then this one. The one who states their case first seems right until the other comes and examines them. And first statements are like that. The writer of Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. That's got a double-edged sword meaning to it. Use it well, it's life. Use it badly, it's death. It destroys people. And to hammer that home, in Proverbs 12, it says, there is one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Notice the difference there. Wisdom brings healing. Now, in this passage, it also says God gave some a tongue to teach. Speaking and teaching are linked in James chapter 3, verse 1. So you will be blessed if you surrender to God. That's a good teaching. And teaching the right things will tell us, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And your tongue is only your enemy if you don't put things right. So here's what he says about the tongue. Teaching the wrong things will have consequences. So when we teach people that they can get to heaven some other way, they will live a life looking for that other way. But also teaching the right things at the wrong time can have a huge effect as well. Teaching forgiveness before someone understands something of the holiness of God can have a lifelong consequence in terms of obedience and following the Holy Spirit. So after this section, James goes on to talk about wisdom, which we will look at next time. We need in our walk with God, when we open our mouths, to speak wisdom, but speak it kindly. So here's my challenge for you this week. Listen to your own words this week and ask the question, were they true? Were they kind? And were they necessary? And then I want you to apologize and then say them right. And then you can laugh. Laugh at yourself, laugh at your attempts at saying the right thing, but in the wrong way. And we go back to Proverbs and say, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. May you hear your own words this week. May you hear what God hears. And then seek wisdom for correcting them when you need to.